Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yavamas Daf Kuf Tes, the 13th parak Beis Shammai. So the three tabs are going to focus on number one. The Mishnah states, Hamagarish has the Isha v'Hachazira Muteris l'Yavam. If one divorces a woman, remarries her, then dies childless, she is permitted to the Yavam, but Rabbi Elazar forbids her to him. Similarly, Hamagarish has the Yasom. If one divorces an orphan girl, remarries her, and then dies childless, she is permitted to the Yavam, but Rabbi Elazar forbids her to him. The Gemara seeks to understand Rabbi Elazar's reason for ruling strictly, and after rejecting the first three explanations, it brings Rav Ashi, who said, Rabbi Elazar's reason is, the Gazar Hani Meshum Yasom v'Chayav that he decreed Yibum is forbidden with these women because of the concern that they might be confused with an orphan in her father's lifetime who remarried the man who divorced her. A Yisoma Bechaya Av is a case where a father married off his daughter who was a minor. Since it's a deraisa marriage, if the man subsequently divorces her, she's no longer under the domain of her father and he's not permitted to marry her off again. In that sense, she's an orphan while her father's still alive. Elazar was concerned that if we permit the adult woman or the minor girl in the first two cases to do Yibum, we might come to permit Yibum in the case where the husband remarried the minor after he divorced her and then died childless. Since that latter marriage is only a derabanan, she's midaraisa an erva as the brother's wife in the first marriage, and Yibum would be forbidden. Point number two, Bar Kapara taught the following brisa, Olam Yidbak Adam B'Shlosh Shadvarim, a person should always cleave to three things, Yisrachik B'Shlosh Shadvarim, and distance himself for three things. He should attach himself to Chalitza V'Avashalm V'Havfaras Nadarim, Chalitza, making peace between others, and annulling vows. He should distance himself from Miun, Umina Pikdonos, Umina Erevonos, Miun, from accepting deposits for safekeeping, and from acting as a guarantor. The Gemara explains that one should cleave to Chalitza, for Abba Shul said that if one does Yibum for ulterior motives, the child is considered a mamzer. One should cleave to making peace, for the Pasuk states, Bakash Shalom Rod Fehu, seek peace and pursue it. And Abba Shul learned from Gezer Shem of the Pasuk, Rod of Stak of Eches, Yim Sechaim, Stak of Echavod, one who pursues charity and kindness will find life, charity and honor, that just as one who pursues kindness is rewarded in both worlds, so too one who pursues peace is rewarded in both worlds. In terms of annulling vows, it was taught in the Braisa, Hanoyder kiu banabama, but makaimo kiu hikriva leal carbon. One who makes a vow is considered as if he built a bama, and one who fulfills his vow, instead of having it annulled, is considered as if he brought an offering on it. And point number three, it was taught in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi says, Ko omer einu lo Torah, einu lo Torah. Whoever says he has no Torah, meaning that he does not learn Torah, he has no reward for learning Torah. When they were asked that, this is obvious. It clarifies Rabbi Yossi to mean, Ko omer einu lo ela Torah, afio Torah einu lo. Whoever says he only has Torah, but does not do mitzvahs, does not even have the reward for learning Torah. Rapop explained that the Pasuk says, V'manatem ba'asisem, you shall learn them and perform them. Koshi yeshem ba'asiyah, yeshem ba'lamida. Whoever is in the category of doing mitzvahs is in the category of learning Torah, but one who is not in the category of doing does not get the reward of learning. Another Brisa teaches that the original statement means that if one only learns, if he taught others to perform mitzvahs, he gets no reward for their performance of mitzvahs. So once again, the three points are number one. The Mishnah states, Hamagarish has the Isha v'Achazira Muteris l'Yavam. If one divorces a woman, remarries her, then dies childless, she is permitted to the Yavam, but Elazar forbids her to him. Similarly, Hamagarish has the Yasom. If one divorces an orphan girl, remarries her, and then dies childless, she is permitted to the Yavam, but Rabbi Elazar forbids her to him. The Gemara seeks to understand Rabbi Elazar's reason for ruling strictly, and after rejecting the first three explanations, it brings Rav Ashi, who said, Rabbi Elazar's reason is, the Gazar Hani Meshum Yisom V'Chayav V'Achazira, that he decreed Yibum is forbidden with these women because of the concern that they might be confused with an orphan in her father's lifetime who remarried the man who divorced her. A Yisoma Bechaya Av is a case where a father married off his daughter who was a minor. Since it's a deraisa marriage, if the man subsequently divorces her, she's no longer under the domain of her father and he's not permitted to marry her off again. In that sense, she's an orphan while her father's still alive. Elazar was concerned that if we permit the adult woman or the minor girl in the first two cases to do Yibum, we might come to permit Yibum in the case where the husband remarried the minor after he divorced her and then died childless. Since that latter marriage is only a derabanan, she's midaraisa an erva as the brother's wife in the first marriage, and Yibum would be forbidden. Point number two, Bar Kapara taught the following brisa, Olam Yidbak Adam B'Shlosh Shadvarim, a person should always cleave to three things, Yisrachik B'Shlosh Shadvarim, and distance himself for three things. He should attach himself to Chalitza V'Avashalm V'Havfaras Nadarim, Chalitza, making peace between others, and annulling vows. He should distance himself from Miun, Umina Pikdonos, Umina Erevonos, Miun, from accepting deposits for safekeeping, and from acting as a guarantor. The Gemara explains that one should cleave to Chalitza, for Abba Shul said that if one does Yibum for ulterior motives, the child is considered a mamzer. One should cleave to making peace, for the Pasuk states, Bakashon Rod Fehu, seek peace and pursue it. And Abba Shol learned from Gezer Shem of the Pasuk, Rod of Stak of Eches, Yim Sachaim, Stak of Echavod. One who pursues charity and kindness will find life, charity, and honor. That just as one who pursues kindness is rewarded in both worlds, so too one who pursues peace is rewarded in both worlds. In terms of annulling vows, it was taught in the Braisa, Hanoider Kiu Banabama, but Makaimo Kiu Hikriva Leal Carbon. One who makes a vow is considered as if he built a bama, and one who fulfills his vow, instead of having it annulled, is considered as if he brought an offering on it. And point number three, it was taught in a place where Yossi says, Ko Omer Einu Lo Torah, Einu Lo Torah. Whoever says he has no Torah, meaning that he does not learn Torah, he has no reward for learning Torah. When they were asked that, this is obvious. It clarifies Rabbi Yossi to mean, Ko Omer Einu Lo Ela Torah, Afio Torah Einu Lo. Whoever says he only has Torah, but does not do mitzvahs, does not even have the reward for learning Torah. Rapop explained that the Pasuk says, V'matatem ba'asisem, you shall learn them and perform them. Koshi yeshem ba'asiyah, yeshem ba'lamida. Whoever is in the category of doing mitzvahs is in the category of learning Torah, but one who is not in the category of doing does not get the reward of learning. Another Brisa teaches that the original statement means that if one only learns, if he taught others to perform mitzvahs, he gets no reward for their performance of mitzvahs. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Tes, and this Siman was suggested to us by Yaakov Leder from Nof Ayalon, from Jason Selesny from Herzliya, and by Aaron Warsaw from Queens, who all suggested that Kuf Tes is a Hatzalah first aid kit. Hatzalah first aid kit. So here goes. The Hatzalah member who grabbed his first aid kit to help a Yosoma Bechaya Av, who fell while jumping rope, made peace between the two girls who were fighting over who gets the next turn, and encouraged the man who said he only learns Torah to join Hatzalah and start performing mitzvahs. Once again in slow motion. The Hatzalah member who grabbed his first aid kit, Hatzalah first aid kit, that must be learned off Kuf Tes. The Hatzalah member who grabbed his first aid kit to help a Yosoma Bechaya Av, who fell while jumping rope, which reminds us, the Mishnah teaches, HaMagarsh is a ish v'achzira muter z'yavim. If one divorces a woman, remarries her, then dies childless, she is permitted to the yavim. But Belezer forbids her to him. Similarly, HaMagarsh is a yosoma. If one divorces an orphan girl, remarries her, and then dies childless, she is permitted to the yavim. But Rebbe Elazar forbids her to him. The Gemara seeks to understand Rebbe Elazar's reason for ruling strictly, and after rejecting the first three explanations, it brings Rav Ashi, who said Rebbe Elazar's reason is the Gazar Hani Mishum Yisoma B'chaya Av V'Hechzira, that he decreed Yibum is forbidden with these women because of the concern they might be confused with an orphan in her father's lifetime who remarried the man who divorced. Rebbe Elazar was concerned that if we permit the adult woman or the minor girl in the first two cases to do Yibum, we might come to permit Yibum in the case where the husband remarried the minor after he divorced her, and then died childless. Since that latter marriage is only the Rabbanan, she is Midaraisa and Erva as a brother's wife from the first marriage, and Yibum would be forbidden. So the Hatzalah member who grabbed his first aid kit to help a Yosoma Bechaya Av, who fell while jumping rope, made peace between the two girls who were fighting over who gets the next turn, which reminds us, Bar Kapar taught the following Braisa, Lom Yidbak Adam Mishosh Dvarim. A person should always cleave to three things, Mizrachet Mishosh Dvarim, and distance himself from three things. He should attach himself to Chalitza V'Havas Shalom V'Hafaras Nadarim, Chalitza making peace between others and annulling vows. He should distance himself from Miun, Umina Bikdonos, Umina Ervonos, Miun from executing deposits for safekeeping, and from acting as a guarantor. So the Hatzalah member who grabbed his first aid kit to help a Yosoma Bechaya Av, who fell while jumping rope, made peace between the two girls who were fighting over who gets the next turn, and encouraged a man who said he only learns Torah to join Hatzalah and start performing mitzvahs. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa where Yossi says, Kol Omer Ein Lo Torah, Ein Lo Torah. Whoever says he has no Torah, meaning that he does not learn Torah, he has no reward for learning Torah. When they were asked that this is obvious, it clarifies Rabbi Yossi to mean, Kol Omer Ein Lo Ela Torah, Afio Torah Ein Lo. Whoever says he only has Torah, but does not do mitzvahs, does not even have the reward for learning Torah. Another Braisa teaches that the original statement means that if one only learns, if he taught others to perform mitzvahs, he gets no reward for their performance of mitzvahs. So once again, the Hatzalah member who grabbed his first aid kit to help a Yosoma Bechaya Av, who fell while jumping rope, made peace between the two girls who were fighting over who gets the next turn, and encouraged a man who said he only learns Torah to join Hatzalah and start performing mitzvahs. Alright, so now it's time for a four blabat chazara. Daf Kuf Hei. So the Siman Daf Kuf Hei is a Russian hacker. So here goes. The Russian hacker, that must be more in Duff Kuf Hey. The Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed, which reminds us Rabbi said that the sin of Beis Eli cannot be atoned for by a carbon or a mincha of a miskaper who bedivrei Torah, but it can be atoned for with Torah learning. Abai said it can be atoned for with acts of chesed. Rabbi and Abai were both descendants from the house of Eli. Rabbi, who engaged in Torah learning, lived 40 years. Abai, who engaged in both Torah and chesed, lived for 60 years. A brisa taught that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was informed that there was a family in Yerushalayim whose members would die when they reached the age of 18. He suspected they were from Beis Eli and told them, go and engage in Torah and live, which they did. So the Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed. And when he discovered a diagram of a person praying looking down, while his words floated up, which reminds us there was a machlokes based on psukim whether one should daven with their eyes downward toward Eretz Yisrael or upwards toward Shemayim. When Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi heard what was being discussed, he said that his father Rabbi Yossi had said, one who davens needs to direct his eyes downward and his heart upward so that one can fulfill both psukim. The Marshal explains that Rabbi Yossi held that most of the Shekhinah left Eretz Yisrael after the Churban. Therefore, one's thoughts should be directed towards Shemayim. But since some of the Shekhinah remains in Eretz Yisrael, his eyes should be directed downwards towards it. So the Russian hacker who came from a family whose members died young gave a hacking class on learning and chesed. And when he discovered a diagram of a person praying, looking down while his words floated up, a heavy-set rabbi slowly walked to the front of the class. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates the exchange between Abdan and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi when Rabbi Shmuel, who was heavy-set, entered Rabbi Shir, and it appeared as if he was stepping over the heads of others who were already seated. Later, Rabbi Shmuel clarified to Rabbi that his father, Rabbi Yossi, ruled based on the word ish in the pasuk that the yavam must be an adult, aval isha ben gadol ben katon, but a woman can be an adult or a minor to perform chalitza. Daf kufvav. So the siman daf kufvav is a tightrope walker walking a fine line. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that must mean our daf kufvav, walking a fine line. The tightrope walker who walked across the tightrope to get the money he was promised for doing chalitza, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, chalitza mutes kashera, a mistaken chalitza is valid. And Rabbi Yochanan explains, this is wherever they tell the yavam, perform chalitza with her on condition that she'll give you masayim zuz. Rashi clarifies that making an act contingent on a condition is learned out from the Tanai B'nai Gad Main Reuven. Since that act was made possible through a shaliach, referring to Yeshua, so too the act must be possible to carry out through a shaliach. Since chalitza cannot be performed through a shaliach, it cannot be made conditional based on a tanai. Therefore, the chalitza is valid even though the yavama did not fulfill the tanai. So the tightrope walker who walked across the tightrope to get the money he was promised for doing chalitza was dismayed when all he found was a chalitza document with the entire parsha on it. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses how the psukim are written in the chalitza document given to the chalitza. Abai holds that since the parchment was not scored, only the beginning of each pasuk could be written on it. Rashi explains that a parchment that's not scored cannot have four consecutive words written on it, since one may only write psukim as part of an entire Sefer Torah. Marzut would score lines in the parchment and write the entire parsha of a chalitza on it. In the case of a chalitza document, the kavanah is merely for a sipur dvarim, to relate the chalitza procedure, and it has no kedusha, and since it's written for the mitzvah, it's permitted to write the whole parsha. So the tightrope walker walked across the tightrope to get the money he was promised for doing chalitza was dismayed when all he found was a chalitza document with the entire parsha on it. And then almost fell off when the yavama on stilt spit towards her short yavam, and the wind carried the spittle his way. Which reminds us, Abai said, if the yavama spat and the wind carried the spit away before it reached the yavam, she has not accomplished anything. This is because we require the fulfillment of the pasuk, v'yarka b'fanav, and she shall spit before him, which implies that the spit must come before the yavam. Therefore, if he's tall and she is short, and the wind carries away the spit, eka b'fanav, there is the fulfillment of spitting before him. But if she is tall and he is short, and the wind carries away the spit, we require that the spittle first reach level with his face and then go away with the wind. Daf Kuf Zayin. So the symbol Daf Kuf Zayin is couscous. So here goes. The waiter serving couscous after a chuppah was shocked when the Kala Katana did miyun while throwing couscous at her chasim, which reminds us, the opening mission of the 13th parrot brings four machlokasim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding miyun. Beis Shammai say, Ein mamanin el arusos, we may only arrange miyun for arusos, but Beis Hillel say, arusos v'nesuos, miyun may be arranged for arusos and nesuos. Rav Yehuda said in the Mishmo that Beis Shammai's reason is, Lefi she'ein tanai b'nesuin, because no tanai is binding with a nesuin involving an adult woman. If a minor who's fully married is permitted to perform miyun, people come to think yesh tanai ben nesuin, that a tanai is still binding with regard to marriage of an adult woman, since it looks as if the minor's marriage is being annulled because of some tanai that was not fulfilled. Beis Hillel are not concerned, for they say people know that the marriage of a minor girl is only the rabban and that it's annulled through miyun. Three more interpretations are brought for this machlokas. So the waiter serving couscous after chup was shocked when the Kala Katana did mune while throwing couscous at her chosim. And unlike a get, she actively said, Lora Enubach, Lora Sevenubach, which reminds us, Rav said, Miyana Bezeh Muteres Lezeh, if a minor Yavama did mune to one brother, she's prohibited to the other brother. This is comparable to when a Yavama received a get from one brother, she becomes prohibited to all the brothers. But Shmuel said, Miyana Bezeh Muteres Lezeh, if a minor Yavama did mune with one brother, she's permitted to the other brother. This is not similar to a Yavama who receives a get, for in that case, it's the Yavam who's giving the get. Whereas here, in regard to Miun, it's the minor who's doing the action and saying, Reinubach v'ot Seveinubach, I do not want you, and I do not desire you. This implies that she's saying, I do not want you, but I do want your brother. Ravasi said, Miyana bezeh muteres afilu lo, that if she did Miun to the Yavam, she is still permitted to him. So the waiter serving couscous after a chuppah was shocked when the Kala Katana did Miun while throwing couscous at her chosim. And unlike a get, she actively said, Reinubach v'ot Seveinubach, making her chosim, the camel driver, so mad that he needed to be tied with two knots. Which reminds us, even though Beis Shammai hold that miyun must be done before the husband, the Rabbanim permitted Pishon, the camel driver's wife, to do miyun not in his presence, because he behaved improperly and destroyed her nixim elug. When the Gemara asks how she could perform miyun, since the husband only has rights in the nixim elug after Nesuah, and Beis Shammai does not permit a Nesuah to do miyun, the Gemara answers straight, Kitri Avdubei. They knotted him with two knots, meaning they granted a double dispensation to his wife, and also had her do miyun, even though she was a Nesuah. Daf Kuf Ches. So the symbol Daf Kuf Ches is a pickpocket. So here goes. The Katana married to a pickpocket. Pickpocket? That must be on Daf Kuf Ches. The Katana married to a pickpocket who just done miyun in front of the storekeeper, where her husband sent her to steal some cash, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Ezu miyun, what is considered miyun? Amri Yevshe beponi bali, she said, I do not want poni my husband, or Yevshe bekedushin shekidshuni imi va'achai, I do not want the kedushin that my mother or my brothers arranged for me. Rabbi Yehuda said, it's even miyun if she said to the storekeeper that her husband had sent her to in order to bring an item. There's no greater miyun than this. Rashi explains that it is valid, even though it was only said to a storekeeper, and one might have thought that she is just complaining that her husband sent her. So, the Katana married to a pickpocket who just done miyun in front of the storekeeper, where her husband sent her to steal some cash, was shocked when her friend ran in, begging the storekeeper to be mekadosher as a form of miyun, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Katana shel mi'ana ve'amda v'niseis, if a Katana who did not do miyun arose and remarried, they said in the name of Yehuda ben Maser that Nisuela and Hemianela, her marriage is her miyun. When the Gemara asks whether her accepting kedushin from another man would be regarded as a form of miyun, it brings a brisa where it was said in the name of Yehuda ben Maser that kedushah hen meonel, her kedushin is her miyun. So the Katana married to a pickpocket who just done miyun in front of the storekeeper, where her husband sent her to steal some cash, was shocked when her friend ran in begging the storekeeper to be the kedusher as a form of miyun, and he refused because he knew that miyun after a get would uproot her earlier marriage and that she'd be allowed to go back to her husband, which reminds us. The Gemara brings the call. Get or chamiyun asur lachzulo, miyun acher get muteres lachzulo. In a case where a get follows miyun, she's forbidden to return to her first husband. In a case where miyun follows a get, she is permitted to return to him. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.